Hey there, friend. Life is too short to be beaten down by crazy curveballs, stress, and drama. Want to de-stress, choose joy, and get healthy? If this sounds like fun, you are in the right place. Let's get inspired by experts in happiness, health, and wellness to create the epic lives we all crave and deserve. It's time to lighten up, ladies. Let's dive right in. Well, look at us. We're already on episode 8. How exciting. And I am so excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Lighten Up Ladies. So to kick it off, I have a question for you. Would you ever work with an auto mechanic who doesn't know what a spark plug is, why it's important, and how to assess whether or not it's functioning properly in your car? Because this is what we're doing with our state of health all the time. And I'm not going to spoil the information for you, but you will find out more about it. And this question will make sense when you listen to the rest of this episode. Look, that's NLP. That's an open loop. So hopefully that'll inspire you to listen through to the end of the interview. Anyway, I wanted to share with you today's guest. I am super excited because we're going to talk about one of my favorite labs. And I think when you talk to anybody who's in the functional health space, especially FDNs, functional diagnostic nutrition practitioners, we have been trained to interpret functional labs. And our lab ranges are optimal ranges, not like baseline, you're about to get medicated ranges. So we shoot for optimization, not for medication. Oh, there's a rhyme. So anyway, one of my favorite labs, and I would say that to a lot of different ones, like when I'm working on a Dutch test, I'll say, I really love this lab. And when I'm working on a GI map, I'll say, this is awesome. And I really like the organic acids too. But honestly, when I say I love learning about minerals, and today's guest, Angela Brown, is going to share with you actually one of my favorite labs. It's basically the Swiss Army knife of labs, meaning that it gives us so much information about our body chemistry, the function of our hormones, immune system, detox, digestion, energy levels, metabolism, and thyroid, and much more, if you can believe it. But a majority of practitioners don't know how to use it or even know that it exists. In fact, as Angela mentions in our talk, a lot of doctors don't even know what it's about. And the reason is it's actually quite complex. But as you'll hear in this conversation, knowing your mineral levels can be an absolute game changer, not only for recovering from debilitating diagnosis, but also for optimizing your health overall. So that's why it's such a treat to get the opportunity to chat with somebody who knows this lab so well. Her name is Angela Brown, and she will share what the minerals are, why they're so important, and how she uses them to help her clients boost metabolism and ditch thyroid issues in her practice. Angela is a holistic health coach from St. Louis, Missouri, and she's a fellow certified functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. Yay! A licensed physical therapist, and she's also a personal trainer. She specializes in advanced testing and thyroid healing for women. She has recovered from hypothyroidism herself after being diagnosed at the age of 22. She used her experience in education to create a program called the Sexy Thyroid Solution, and she designed it to help women not suffer like she did to get to the root cause of their health issues. Angela is such a smart lady, and you can tell that she is really, really well versed in this lab. And so it's a lot of information coming at you, just giving you a heads up. So focus in, and she will also tell you how to learn more about it. I highly encourage you to jump on her social media because she talks about minerals all the time in her posts. And so that's a great way to get started. Plus, we'll share some other ways to reach Angela after the show. And also, I'll be back with some takeaways. So enjoy the show, and I'll be back after. Oh, I should also give a heads up. My bad. I borrowed my husband's headset and it wasn't set properly. So some of the sound quality on my part wasn't so amazing, but that doesn't matter because Angela sounded fantastic and her information was what you need to pay attention to. So that's all good. Also wanted to give you a heads up that Buster Dog had to put his 2 cents in a few times. And so you might hear him in the background because he's such a chatty Cathy. So apologize for that. It's just kind of part of, I guess, having him around. We love him. Okay, anyways, on with the show.
Hi, Angelus. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to have you here on podcast.
Hey, Dory, it's good to see you too. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me, by the way.
Absolutely. And I'm really excited about the topic that you chose to talk about and was wondering if you could share, just because it's not something that we hear a lot about, how you started working with women with minerals and what got you excited about it.
So probably the biggest thing that started with me is I have hypothyroidism myself. I was diagnosed when I was 22. I'm now 45, but I had a lot of big struggles with it. And that's what made me start reaching out, figuring out what else can I do here? Because I was really struggling with my own health and it was super frustrating. And the conventional medicine route, I just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I was like, there's got to be something else that I'm missing here. And so I started investigating and found someone who actually does mineral testing. And so I was like, I'm going to investigate like doing minerals on myself and see if that's a game changer or has anything to do with it. And boy, was it a big game changer for me. And I thought, wow, this is cool stuff. I'm going to use this in my practice. I'm going to help other women with this. It has been such a huge, huge piece when dealing with hypothyroidism. So it was more of my own personal struggle that led me to it. And now I love using it in my practice.
So what are the kinds of things that drew you to working with it? And what was the thing that was said about it that intrigued you?
So the one thing actually the biggest thing that was the kind of like, oh, I think I need to do this is when we start looking at minerals, it really looks at what your metabolism is doing. Obviously, we know the metabolism, there's such a massive connection to what the thyroid does based off the metabolism, the adrenals, it just showed a lot of connection. I was going through a phase where like my thyroid blood panel looked pretty normal. And I was like, I don't feel normal. Like you keep telling me it's normal, but I don't feel normal. And what led me to go, oh, I think I need to do the mineral stuff was that there was a lot of information I was getting that you can have like normal blood panel with your thyroid. But if the minerals are really imbalanced and there's some particular ones, if they're really imbalanced, it is going to slow the metabolism. It's going to slow your thyroid and you're going to be spinning on a hamster wheel and you're just going to keep having a normal, so-called normal thyroid panel, but still feel like dirt. That's what made me go, oh, okay, I need to look at these minerals because I felt horrible, but my panel kept looking pretty okay. And I was like, it's not okay. Something else is wrong here. And it was very intriguing to me as well, because then it showed so much connection with the thyroid and the adrenals and even digestion. Like there's a lot of things on it. So it wasn't just, oh, we're only looking at metabolism. That's a big piece, because it even tells you, are you in a slow metabolic state or are you in a fast metabolic state? Majority of the women I work with, they're typically in slow, and that's where I was. But I was like, kept being told that everything looked normal on my blood panel. So I was fine. And I knew something was off. I could feel it. So that was why I was like, we got to do this mineral stuff. This is cool.
Yeah, it sounds like it's like a big missing link to what a lot of people are struggling with, because you were looking at the labs. And I know just from what I know about you, you go in deep and you like to analyze things and really get to understand things. So when you're looking at your labs, you're feeling like that's what you're being told by everybody. And to listeners, Angela is a master of reading thyroid panel labs and other things. And so for her to see things being normal, she knows also functionally what to look for. When you're seeing things that are normal, to see if there's something more to it. So I'm sure you exhausted what you were able to do with that. And then we're looking for the next thing. And I don't think a lot of people hear about mineral testing. Why do you think it's something that people really
don't? It is not common. And it's pretty crazy too, because I talk about it on social media constantly. And you can't imagine the amount of DMs I get and direct messages. And they're like, what is this? I've never even heard of this. Like they've heard the word mineral, obviously. But they're like, I thought you tested for it in blood. And I'm like, well, you can test it for in blood. It's not that it's not okay in blood. It's just going to tell you the snapshot like right now. It's not going to tell you what it's been for like the last 3 months. And the hair test that I do for minerals is going to tell you the 3 month average, which I'd rather have a 3 month average than just like today. So that's why I do it that way. But like I said, most people are like, I had no idea. And what the heck does minerals have to do with your thyroid? So it's just not a common thing. It's definitely not common because conventional medicine doesn't do it. In fact, I've had a lot of clients who've gone to their doctor and say, hey, I just did the hair tissue mineral analysis with my coach. And they're like, what? They've never even heard of it. It's just not a common test, and you know, insurance doesn't pay for it and all that stuff. So because of that, it's not like most people don't know about it. Most people don't hear about it, but it's been a huge, huge piece for me personally. And then for my clients, I just see such big changes for people particularly in the thyroid world when we start looking at minerals.
Yeah. I've had some people say, yeah, you know, I've had my magnesium levels tested and it was a blood test. Can you explain to people why maybe that isn't always the accurate? You just mentioned a little bit about it, but why is blood not a good marker?
Yeah. So like, for example, what you eat, because, you know, food has minerals in it. So what you eat could like affect what your minerals look like. Like, so for example, if I had a really high sodium food or high magnesium foods like the day before, my levels might be a little bit more the next day. So if you just go get your blood test that next day, then you're just going to see like what's going on like the last maybe like 24 hours, which again, not terrible, but they're going to be skewed a little because it may look like you have totally normal calcium or magnesium or sodium, potassium. So the hair test gives a 3-month average. So it's interesting. When you take, that's the hardest part is the, when you do it as a hair test, a lot of the women that come to me, one of the issues they have is they have hair loss. And I'm like, but we actually have to take a hair sample. They're like, oh, great. So now I have to take more hair out. But I'm like, just trust me, you're going to be happy that you did it. But the half of an inch of hair growth, is, 1 month of minerals basically. So it, you take like an inch and a half length of the hair and that's going to give you a 3-month average. I much rather would have a 3-month average of minerals to get a better idea of where I am than just like what it is today. Cause that again, everything, I mean, how the weather is outside can affect what your minerals are doing. You know, if it's really hot or really cold, I mean, there's so many things that can affect it. So I would much rather have a 3-month average than just like today and just like that snapshot for right now. So like I said, it's not a bad marker. It's, you know, and I will compare it to blood testing, but more often than not, it's not even as relevant because it's just telling me today. And that's not going to tell me enough to go, oh yeah, you are really deficient in magnesium. Well, maybe you aren't. Maybe you just had a ton of magnesium foods or, you know, you took your magnesium supplement and got your blood drawn like an hour later. Like there's so many things that can affect it. So that's why I do the hair.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You don't want to take something from one day, a snapshot, and do something with it over a few months or however long your protocols are.
Yeah.
And it wasn't accurate. It was just that moment in time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that totally makes sense. So what are things that are trending that you're seeing in people who have thyroid problems and need support in their metabolism?
So the big thing, I mean, the most common symptoms that I see are the typical slow thyroid symptoms. So I'm usually seeing women typically, and they're usually, you know, weight loss resistant or gaining weight for like no reason, you know, saying they're eating healthy, working out, and they're like, I'm putting weight on, or it's not coming off. Something doesn't feel right. And hair loss, constipation, extreme exhaustion, usually, you know, quite a bit of fatigue. Sometimes they start to lose like part of their eyebrows, the outer third of their eyebrows. Anxiety is a really big one that I see as well. Depression even, that all can be, brain fog's a massive one too. That all can be connected to the thyroid. So that's typically what, when women are coming to me, that's typically what they're telling me is these are all my symptoms. And they're like, it's a lot of symptoms. And I'm like, yeah, that's like thyroid symptoms. That's pretty typical when we have a slow thyroid or even like Hashimoto's. Typically we're going to have those kind of symptoms. And then I always look at what our symptoms are. And then I correlate it to what I see on testing. And like on the mineral testing, I always see patterns. It's very, very typical. I'm going to see patterns and I'm usually going to see, they're typically in a slow metabolic state. So we call it a slow oxidizer. You're either a slow oxidizer or a fast oxidizer when we look at minerals. And typically they're slow, which is exactly how it sounds. The metabolism is slow. And then typically there's some minerals on there that will, you can look at ratios. They have, it's like a thyroid ratio. They have an adrenal ratio. And typically the thyroid ratio shows that the thyroid is sluggish. You can have a totally normal thyroid panel. So your blood test might look okay, but your hair test could look like a train wreck. And that's actually what I usually see. And that's why they're saying my thyroid panel looks normal, but I feel terrible. And so typically I will see they have usually elevated calcium is a pattern I typically see. When calcium, I always use this analogy, calcium's not a smart mineral. So like calcium's supposed to be in bone and teeth. And when it gets out of bone and teeth, it doesn't know how to go back. So it's just hanging out. It's going where it's not supposed to go. I think about calcium, it like calcifies. So it's going where it's not supposed to be going. It doesn't know how to go back. It's just hanging out. The problem with that is it typically will end up slowing the thyroid down. So I typically will see elevated calcium. I usually also see very, very low potassium, almost every single woman that I've worked with, they either had really low potassium on a hair test or it was extremely high, which doesn't mean it's high. It actually means you're losing potassium. It's not staying inside the cell. One of the biggest things we need potassium for is potassium helps to, does a lot of things, but it helps to sensitize our cells so that we accept thyroid hormone. This is where something like, we call it cellular hypothyroid, comes into play. Thyroid panel might look good. You might have thyroid hormones. You might have them floating around, but just because they're floating around doesn't mean you're using them. And that's where I usually will end up seeing the mineral testing will show you have your thyroid numbers. You might have your thyroid hormones, but you are not using them, because if calcium's up and potassium's down, it's pretty difficult. You're usually typically not using your thyroid hormones then. And that's why you have all the symptoms of a slow thyroid. It's not that you don't have the hormones, and you might not have the hormones either. I do see that a lot too, where they don't even have the hormones, much less are they using the hormones. But it's really, really common to see that high calcium, low potassium. And that's a super common one, that pattern. And that's actually a thyroid ratio. We look at the thyroid ratio as that is a calcium potassium ratio. And then the adrenals, we also have a ratio for that, which is sodium magnesium. And the four main minerals that I'm really looking at are calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium. And I usually will see calcium's up. Usually we have a magnesium loss. And then sodium depends, because if someone is on a serious stress and overdrive, their sodium's usually high. If they're in the exhaustive phase where the body's like tapping out, their sodium's usually low. But typically always potassium is tapped out. They usually don't have potassium. So I usually see this pattern with them. And it's like, gosh, once we just start addressing those first four minerals, and we look at other minerals, selenium is a really big one for thyroid too. And we look at iron, different things, but the big ones that I'm looking at are those first four I mentioned, calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium. And typically if those are off, you're probably not going to feel very good, even with taking thyroid medication. And that's another common thing I hear is I'm taking thyroid medication and I'm miserable still, because your body's probably not using it because you don't have the minerals on board. So that's why I'm always like, we got to look at minerals. And I do every single client I work with. It's the first thing we do. We go right into minerals, because I'm like, I don't want you spinning on a hamster wheel where we're like, oh, we'll try this and let's have you take your thyroid medication. You know, obviously we go over food and all these other things, but if the minerals aren't happening, it's makes it a longer battle.
Yeah, there's so much there that you mentioned. I mean, one is that you were saying that potassium could look low or high, but actually be the opposite.
Yeah.
And you were talking about just how some things can get out of balance really quickly, and that you can actually be taking medication and not be receiving it. So it really doesn't matter how much you're taking, and you're going to continue to feel bad. It's probably doing more damage than good at that point.
Yeah.
And so that makes a lot of sense, that when you look at the mineral balances and you're understanding it in the way that you do, you're able to really see what to do next. I mean, how do you resolve that? Because it's not taking more thyroid medication that's going to make the difference.
Right. And so, some people need it.
Can we zoom back?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to zoom back and ask if you can explain what minerals do, like why are they so important? You've already tapped into how, like, you know, calcium is supposed to be making in the teeth and the bones and the potassium and what it does. But overall, why are they so important and necessary, and why do we need to know more about them?
So minerals, I always use this analogy too. Minerals are like spark plugs. They are literally like the spark plugs of your body. So if they're off, it is hard to correct other things. So I'm always adamant about looking at minerals for that main reason, is because they are like spark plugs. The other factor is that when we have any sort of stress, and we're talking a stress response, it could be like, you know, emotional stress, but it could be like, you might have leaky gut, you might have liver stress, you might have stress from, you know, gut health being off, or you have a food sensitivity. So you can have all kinds of stressors. Anytime we have stressors, minerals get used. We have to use minerals to respond to that. They also get used, just like, you know, we have cortisol present, all that stuff. We use minerals. They will get depleted as we go on in life and we've had any sort of stress. You can't avoid stress 100%. It's impossible. So I actually like looking at kind of like a timeline for people too. And like my intake form, I go in pretty depth of what stressors have you had in life. I want to know more details, timeline and all that. Because if someone has a timeline and their stress timeline has been like from 5 years old and they're now 40 and they've never had a moment where they weren't stressed, their minerals are probably going to be pretty depleted and a train wreck compared to someone who maybe just had a little bit of stress going on for, you know, a year ago or something. So that's one thing is if we have any sort of stress, which like I said, it's inevitable, you are going to start depleting minerals. We have to have those minerals for like so many functions. Magnesium alone, we need it for like 3,000 different activities in the body. That's a lot of activity we need it for. Potassium, for example, we need 4,700 milligrams of potassium a day, just normal function. That's only if you're deficient. It's really hard to get 4,700 milligrams of potassium a day just from food.
Yeah.
That's not an easy feat. So you can imagine if you're low in it and you aren't getting 4,700 milligrams, it's going to be really hard to bring that back up. Now, I love using food for bringing minerals back into the body. I'm always, you know, adamant about using food as well, but sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes you have to do supplementation in order to do that. But keep in mind that your body can't manufacture minerals itself. You can make hormones. You can even make neurotransmitters. You can make different nutrients and things like that at times, but minerals you can't. They you either have them or you don't. And typically you're going to get them from food. And that's the other factor is, you know, our food sources these days, they have gotten much more deficient in nutrients and minerals than they were years ago. And, you know, because of soil and all that stuff. So there's a lot, that's a whole nother subject. But because of that alone, the mineral depletion, it's pretty prevalent. There's a lot of people with mineral deficiency because of that. And, you know, like I said, you can't make your own minerals and we need them for everything. I mean, magnesium, like I said, you need it for so many things. Sodium, we need sodium for adrenal health. We need calcium for our bone and teeth. Like we need those things for so many different things. Potassium's important for heart health. So there's a lot of functions that they serve, but they also have so much connection to what our metabolism is doing, to what our adrenals are doing, to what our thyroid is doing, even our sex hormones. There's, you know, so much connection there. And so that's why I'm like, it's important to really look up minerals. Like I said, they're little spark plugs and they can kind of make or break when you're trying to correct different patterns in the body and things like that. It can make it a much bigger challenge when we don't have those minerals in check and imbalanced.
Yeah. Then like what you're saying with the food and the soil that we're also using, there's a lot of toxins and things like that.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's another store as well. So there's so many different avenues to be losing our minerals.
Yeah.
So Angela, what if I just buy a really good quality mineral supplement and just take that? Will that fix everything?
For some, it can. Like if you're just deficient across the board, any old mineral supplement would suffice for something like that. But it's pretty rare that we'll see someone where they have a deficiency kind of across the board. Usually they have some that are too high. Sometimes that means a loss. Sometimes it actually means it might be too high depending on the mineral. Sometimes they're low. So usually I don't have people just blindly start taking a mineral supplement. Now I will say, if you're doing like a minerals, like they make liquid minerals and things like that, those across the board, like anyone can take those, but typically it's only got a certain amount of like magnesium, a certain amount of like all these, the minerals, it's only has a certain amount of them. And so for example, like if you're super deficient in magnesium, maybe a little deficient in potassium, not bad with sodium, you're going to get the same amount for every single thing. So it might be that, you know, just doing a general mineral supplement would help you kickstart things. But like, if you're really deficient in potassium, you may need extra potassium on top of that. So it can't hurt to do that. But at the same time, like I said, too, I don't always recommend that because you can make things worse if you have something that's high. Like for example, if your sodium is extremely high, that's usually an acute stress response. If we see sodium really high, we got to be a little cautious with how much, you know, sodium we're taking in. Even like Celtic sea salt, you know, things like that, because we might, when your sodium's really high, it can make you really kind of almost anxious. It can make you snappy. People just, when they have high sodium, I can tell because they're like, oh my gosh, I have no patience. I'm snappy. I just feel, you know, like I'm on edge all the time. My anxiety is through the roof. I'm like, yeah, your sodium's extremely high. So that's why you kind of have to be a little careful when we're just kind of, let's just have people take things and not necessarily know. But like I said, across the board, if you're taking a pretty normal dose of things like that, it's not going to make things worse.
It sounds like it's got to be pretty customized and fine-tuned. Yeah. And it's hard to do that with just something that's really generic.
Yeah.
Especially if you have an extreme deficiency in like that, if something's actually quite high already.
Right.
So, so basically when you have a mineral deficiency and you work with a woman and you find out her results, how do you put together something to help her? How do you get started with her in healing?
So there's a lot of factors I look at. When I look at the test result, first of all, I analyze, are we in a slow state? Are we in a fast state? Typically, most of them are slow. And I have to do a lot of like health history and things like that to find out, are they going to be okay if we're doing some mineral supplementation with pill form? Or are we better off to have like a powder formula? There's a company that I work with that can we create a, kind of a customized formula that's a powder that has everything in it that they could possibly need to sort of correct that. However, if someone's like super sensitive or they're really sick, like have a lot of things going on, I'm going to take things like way slower. So we're going to do like individual supplements one at a time. It's a very long journey and that does happen. But most of the time what I'm doing is I'm looking at what are we deficient in? Let's work with food first. So I'm always going to recommend food. And then I'm usually looking at other test results with it. So if I see like their gut health is a train wreck and they have leaky gut and their inflammation is through the roof, putting them on a ton of supplements, they might not absorb a ton of it. So I'm going to like start working on, let's get some inflammation worked on. Let's work on leaky gut stuff first. So I'll do it in phases depending on what I see. But if someone's not terrible with other testing, then I will go, you know, into the minerals a little bit more aggressively depending on where they are. But I like to have liver health, you know, drainage pathways opened up, liver health worked on. I like to have those sort of things and gut health, maybe starting to address some of those things. So that way when we start doing, because when you start balancing minerals, it you have to be a little strategic with it because you can make people feel really yucky if you're going like straight into it with a lot of minerals and you know, it moves stuff around and can move toxins around because everyone I put on a binder when we start doing mineral balancing, because you can move things around. So you do have to be a little strategic with it. So it depends on the person. But yeah, usually I'm addressing a lot of other things prior to us even like going straight into let's start balancing your minerals. You kind of have to be strategic depending on the person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And so what you're saying is that when you start moving minerals, it changes things in it. You literally are moving things around and changing things in your body. And it actually could be work. Your body's going to have to do things and adjust to it. And part of that is detoxing.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense because it's going to get into your gut and it's going to get into your other systems and your detoxification processes. And so if those gateways aren't open, you're going to make the person feel worse instead of better. And that's not what we want. So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's just a lot of things involved with it so that you don't just take a mineral and just think, okay, I'm deficient in this. And let me just take as much as I can to make it go up. That's just not how it works.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you can totally, I mean, you can definitely make yourself feel worse. And kind of like you said, like, you know, if you haven't, so for example, if someone's really, really, they got a lot of issues going on, really sick, their liver is a total mess. They're not really pooping very well. They're not detoxing very well. And then I just go right into doing minerals. They are going to feel pretty lousy. So I'm always like, and it's tough because some clients are like, just give me the minerals. I want to boost my metabolism. I want to lose this weight. And I'm like, oh no, we got to take a step back here because I'm looking at some of your other tests and everything else is train wreck. So we have to go like in slow phases. I'm like, you will thank me for this later because you'll feel lousy if we just go right into it. That's one of the reasons why I put everyone on a binder when we do start doing mineral balancing, because it does, it stirs things up. Especially metals. Metals is a really big one that will start stirring some of that stuff up, which that is also checked on the hair test. And that's going to make you feel kind of lousy. So you have to be, you definitely have to be strategic with it.
Can you say a little bit more about the metals and what you might find and why, like how would they get there and why is it really making them not feel good when they start moving?
And metals are tough because like it, once you have metals in you, I mean, your liver obviously is a filter. It does as much as it can to get things out, but not all metals are going to excrete on their own. And you can get a big buildup. I mean, like mercury, you can get buildup pretty easily just from, you know, if you eat sushi a lot, like you can have a buildup of mercury. Some people do great with it, but some people will hold on to it. aluminum, arsenic, like there's so many metals that we can get buildup from. And the tough part with those is, you know, most of them have some sort of connection to the thyroid. And that's why I like looking at the metals as well, because some of them will inhibit conversion of like T4 over to active T3. Some of them will bump out iodine. Well, we need iodine. You have to have four out molecules to make T4 and three molecules to make T3, your thyroid hormones. So there are some metals that will knock the iodine out of the way so that you can't make your thyroid hormones. There are some that will knock selenium out of the way. We also need selenium for thyroid hormone conversion. So there's a lot of reasons why I'm like that. And that's one of the reasons why I like they do the metal testing as well on the hair tests that I do, because there's such a massive connection. So you can start, metals like to stay really hidden in tissue. They like to stay stuck down, sequestered. So on a first hair test, I don't always see metals right away. And I always warn people, because I'm like, when we start balancing minerals, they might start coming out. So you cannot miss your binder, because we want to bind that up so that we don't make you feel lousy, for one. For another, when we do a retest, don't be alarmed if now you're like, oh, why do I have mercury? I didn't have it on my first test. It's probably been there the whole time. You just don't see it. But that's why I like being able to look at those and assess those. But we always, regardless if there's metals or not on a test, on a first test, I'm always going to bind, because I know that they're probably stuck in tissue. We're not seeing them, and they can knock out. Think about the periodic chart. I always use this to help kind of think about what the heck the metals have to do with minerals. On a periodic chart, you have your metals and you have minerals. So if there's a metal that's present, it can knock out the mineral that's in that same row and take place for it. So it will, your body will think, oh, we have selenium, when we don't, because we're actually using like mercury instead. So that's why you have to like be super cautious when you do start balancing minerals. You're putting some in there, but those metals have to get out of the way now. So we start moving them, and moving metals around doesn't make women or anyone feel very good. So you have to like, that's why I use the binder. And bind it up. And it's not a metal detox. That's a completely different ball game. Like a metal detox, you're taking things to pull the sequestered things out. So that's a different ball game. That makes people feel really yucky. This is just binding up what's present, what's already there, what your body already, it's like out of tissue and not stuck in tissue. You bind that up and yeah, get rid of it so that you don't feel lousy.
Yeah. That's so fascinating, isn't it? Like your analogy with, well, what you're saying about the periodic table, that the metals have similar properties as the ones that you actually do want. And so your body kind of grabs for them because it's trying to make up for something that's not there. And now right. It's like a game of musical chairs.
Right.
And it bounces the ones that you don't want.
Yep.
So is that why you say you work with main minerals first?
Yeah. Yeah. The main minerals. And like I said, it's not that the other ones aren't important. Sometimes the other minerals can fall into place too, when we start getting those first four balance. I mean, you could go down a rabbit hole. There's a lot of minerals that checked, and you could go down a rabbit hole and go, everything that you're low on, you need to take. I mean, that's a lot of minerals, and that's crazy. Some of them we do address, but some of them you don't have to, because some of them can just bounce back as we start getting, you know, the first four balance. Some of them will come into play then. For example, like zinc, if someone's low in zinc, but they're also low in sodium, I will not have them take any zinc, because zinc will lower sodium even more. If someone has extremely high sodium and we have low zinc, I'm like, let's use a little zinc. That'll help bring that sodium down. So, you know, you have to be strategic with it. Like I mentioned, but there's some that will bounce back as you start balancing those first four. The first four are always going to be the most crucial.
Yeah. So it sounds like for those listeners out there, they're thinking there's just so much to it and I just don't know where to start. So when you work with somebody, can you share stories about maybe some things that you've seen and experienced, sure, so people can kind of get a sense of what it's like to work with a practitioner like you, and also they can see what evolves after that?
Yeah. So I actually just had a client recently. I had two clients recently who are both on thyroid medication. Been on it for quite a while, actually, but pretty lousy, feeling just terrible. And their numbers don't look terrible. I've looked at the numbers. They don't look bad, but they're just not feeling good at all. And so we started, I usually am doing most clients. We're usually doing the hair test, a hormone and adrenal test, and then a stool test. That's kind of my hallmark ones. Sometimes I have to throw in extra things, but I'm usually doing those regardless. These two particularly are off their thyroid meds. Their doctor's like, I don't know what you're doing, but your numbers look normal and you have zero symptoms. So I don't want you on your thyroid meds anymore. So they've been able to go off their thyroid meds. And a lot of clients come to me with that goal. Doesn't always go that way. I mean, I have to take thyroid medication. I've been on it forever. I'm on a super low dose now compared to what I was, but I don't know if I'll ever come off of it because my care was so mismanaged for like 15 years, unfortunately. But like the ones that have come to me, they're like, you know, I've been on it a while, but I'm pretty miserable. They typically are not, have some of them haven't even been like consistent with taking it because they're like, I feel worse when I'm on it. And so their doctor's like, no, you have to take it because of your numbers. And we'll obviously the hair testing is one of the tests we'll do. And when we start working on, usually I'm going over lifestyle, a lot of lifestyle things. So we dive into what food you should eat, what you shouldn't eat, based on gut testing, based on hair testing, because we can even see like you're a slow oxidizer. So like we need to make sure that you're actually eating your carbohydrates. Like you cannot do low carb, or you're deficient in magnesium. So we're going to boost these magnesium foods. So we can really get a baseline of where their food should be. That's been a big, big piece that my clients always tell me. They're like, I love this because I never know what to eat. I don't know if I'm making things worse. I don't know if I'm making things better. I'm so confused. The food part is a really big portion of it. So I'm usually really diving into what they should eat or shouldn't eat, meal planning, things like that, so that they have a better idea of, yeah, this is going to help me balance my minerals and keep my blood sugar balance and all that stuff. And then we dive into liver health, stress, sleep, you know, way more in depth on gut health, depending on their stool test. A lot of times we have to go way more in depth because most of the time the stool tests are not always the best either when I get those back. But we look at the body as a whole. So I'm doing more full picture. And that's the part that people love because they're like, I like that you don't just, we're not just looking at thyroid. They're like, I have hypothyroidism or I have thyroid symptoms, but my doctor won't look at anything else. And so they like that piece of it because sometimes we'll find other things. Even, you know, I'll actually ask for extra blood testing. Sometimes we'll find that they're iron deficient or that they have a copper toxicity. Their cortisol is completely a train wreck and their adrenals are totally tapped out. Things like that. And it's stuff that like they're not going to see in the typical testing. And so they love that aspect of it that we're doing full body. So I'm, you know, going more into, I mean, I go into sleep even. I'm like, look, we got to go over your sleep pattern. You're not sleeping or you're doing things that are making your sleep pattern worse. We need you sleeping normal. So, you know, it's just this full body approach instead of just like, we're just gonna look at your thyroid panel and that's it. So when I'm working with someone, it's like phases, like I said, kind of like with, you know, supplementation from like the hair test, I do everything in sort of phases. It's like steps I'll take with them because they're usually with me for at least 6 months. Because you can't, like, it's too overwhelming. I could not, like, I always think about it, like, what would I have wanted back in the day when I was miserable? And I'm like, I would have wanted this kind of program, but I don't want it all thrown at me in one day because that's too overwhelming. So I do it in, like, steps and phases with them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The thyroid doesn't function in a vacuum, and that's kind of how it's being treated.
It is. I always say that too. Yeah, it's literally treated that way, and it isn't. And I always use that analogy too. Think about a triangle. Your thyroid's on one corner, adrenals are on one corner, sex hormones are in one corner. They all have to play along with each other. So if one's off, they're typically all off. And that's why you have to look at the body as a whole to approach it than just, oh, here's your thyroid numbers, take your thyroid meds, I'll see you in 6 months. It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. And it's frustrating. I've been there 15 years, I battled that. And that's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why I work with women. I created my program because I'm like, this is so unnecessary. It doesn't need to be that way.
Yeah. And listeners, if you think of the symptoms that Angela's been seeing, those are also all being dismissed as signs of aging, right? But the longer you've been on the planet, the more you're likely to have exposed to these kinds of things and dealt with all these chronic stressors and had sleep deprivation, all these other things. So with those three different things you mentioned in the triangle, we're all getting affected by these things. I think it's a unicorn out there, isn't it, Angela, that's not being as affected by these kinds of things, especially as we get into midlife, where I feel like we're so busy and we are doing so many things, taking care of so many people and, you know, trying to take care of ourselves as well. Yeah. So it sounds like it's a really kind of dicey game to try and biohack this yourself. I know that especially in the midlife space, we're all being told to eat more fat and protein and cut out the carbs. And so if you have a, you find out you're a slow metabolizer, then you're probably seeing that happening too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will tell you, a lot of women that have come to me, they're like, oh, I'm trying keto, or I'm trying low carb, or I'm, you know, I'm too scared to eat carbs now because my doctor told me I need to cut them all out because my thyroid's slow. And I'm like, oh boy, that's like the exact opposite. And typically we'll see it, like we'll see the hair testing and I'm like, oh yeah, you know, you can't. And I actually, I have a client I just started working with. She's been doing pretty hardcore keto for years and just feeling worse. But her doctor was just pushing her and pushing her. You have to stick with it. You have to stick with it. The weight will come off someday. She's up 50 pounds. And I'm like, 50 pounds? And the doctor keeps telling her, just keep going. It'll come off someday. Don't worry about it. She's 40. And I'm like, you can't, that's not right. Well, then we got her hair test and I'm like, and it's one, probably one of the worst patterns I've seen. It's like the slowest pattern I've seen. And I'm like, you have to stop. So the tough part with her is that is tricky because I can't just go, oh, eat all the carbs. Because she's going to feel like she's blowing up like a balloon from the water retention and everything else. So I'm like, we're getting very, very slow carb integration. But yeah, her minerals were terrible. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no wonder you're not feeling good. And this is making you worse. And there is a time and place for it. But the majority of the women that I see, typically they're slow oxidizers. And that's just going to make them feel even worse, at least down the road. Maybe not immediately, but down the road, it probably will.
It just underscores how important it is to test these things and understand what your body chemistry is showing. Not look at the trends or, you know, what's working for this other person out there in the ether and then think that it's going to work for you. And that's really sad too, isn't it? That she's feeling probably like she's doing something wrong.
Right. And I'm like, and that's what she said. She goes, what am I doing wrong? And I'm like, nothing. Like you're just, you're following what the doctor's telling you to do. It's not that you're doing it wrong. I'm like, you actually are doing the keto diet. Like she's doing it hardcore, but I'm like, it's just not, your body's just not in that state where it could do it. Maybe someday she could, but I'm like, your body is not in that state where it could do it. It's just not going to, it's just not going to happen for you. And it is unfortunate because it's there, you know, you can go on Google and look up what's the best diet for hypothyroidism and like 15,000 different diets will pop up and you're like, oh, which one should I choose? And there's, and I, people ask me all the time, what's the best diet for hypothyroidism? I'm like, there isn't one. There isn't one. It's like, I don't say follow that. I don't put people in like a cookie cutter. This is the diet that you need. Now I will say, eat more of these foods, eat less of these foods. But like, I would want to customize anyways, based off their test results, as far as what that would entail. But yeah, I'm typically like that. There is no diet. The only diet that I'll say that, like if someone has Hashimoto's, I'll recommend them to go on like the autoimmune protocol. And I won't even call it a diet because I'm like, don't use the word diet with my clients because they will get hung up on that. So I like the autoimmune protocol for 30 days. So I will make recommendations like that, but it typically, it's rare for me to say, yeah, you need to follow only the paleo or only the Mediterranean or something. I'm like, because it's there's so many intricate things with each person that I'm like, I can't tell you to follow that diet because like you don't fit the cookie cutter approach with that. You don't fit the mold with this. It's usually kind of a pick and choose sort of thing, depending on what we see. So,
yeah, the more like symptoms you have and, you know, the more that you're struggling with something that's chronic, the more nuanced it is what you can and cannot handle because those symptoms are telling you something is off balance. And so you can't just do the thing that maybe you did when you were a little bit like decades younger. So,
right. Yeah, and that's just that it. That's funny that you, yeah. Diet, it's, yeah, I'm like, no, I always, and that's one of the things, one of the pieces that I actually go over a lot of mindset stuff with my clients right when they start with me. And that's, I go into a lot of questioning about, are they using the word diet? Do they feel like they have to be on a diet? This isn't a diet. Like we really have to work on getting that word out of their vocabulary. Cause I'm like, diet is temporary. This is not temporary. We are correcting things, but you're going to, you know, you're going to feel better that this is a long haul thing. So yeah, I'm pretty careful with using that word, because it just, it can really mess with people's heads.
Yeah. And you were about to say that you actually had begun your journey in your 20s, right? During thyroid. Is that what you're about to bring up?
Yeah. So, and that's what I always, and I always remind people, because, you know, I can understand that. So I was diagnosed when I was 22. I was having tons of symptoms all throughout college. I was in college for physical therapy school. I graduated, finished my degree, started working in physical therapy, and I was miserable. Finally got diagnosed at the age of 22, and they all told me, oh, you're just hypothyroid because your physical therapy school was so hard that you were stressed out. Okay. I was 22 at the time. I didn't know any better. So take this medicine. Well, it was just like in and out of doctor's offices, feeling worse. By the age of 24, I had a doctor tell me that I was hitting menopause, and that's why I had so many symptoms. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm not hitting menopause. Not a single woman in my family has hit menopause that early. Even that, I'm 24, like no way. So what I can say from that is like my body at 24 years old is very different than me at 45 now. So maybe I was eating a certain way back then and maybe it did work. That does not mean that 20 years later, it's going to work for me now. And that's why I love talking to women about that too. Cause I'm always like, they'll say, well, it worked for me when I was, you know, in my 20s or pre-kids. And I'm like, okay, that's great. I'm glad it worked for you then. But that, like, your body is different. It changed. I mean, just a year, your body can change so much. So I'm like, don't even look at the past. We're moving forward. New day, new thing. We don't even think about what worked in the past because everybody's body changes. I mean, even for men. So I'm like, you can't really compare to what worked back then because everything just, there's too many changes.
Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah. So if you were able to speak directly to the person out there listening, thinking this is a lot, I don't know like what the next steps are. How do I get myself some help? What would you say to them?
So there are a lot of practitioners out there that are in the thyroid world. So I would say definitely reach out, find a practitioner that does focus on thyroid stuff. And I'm going to be biased here, but functional medicine realm, because it's conventional medicine, you're not going to find a conventional medicine doctor or practitioner doing like hair tissue mineral testing, even stool testing. Like it's pretty rare. So I would make sure you're finding a practitioner in like the functional medicine world. That's always going to be my preference. That's what my certification is in, because I feel like you'll get more of a let's find the root cause approach versus let's band-aid it with the next medication. You're going to get more root causes. So you're not chasing symptoms. You're literally getting rid of symptoms because you're actually chasing root causes. So we're not going after this. We're not treating the symptoms, in other words. So that's why I would prefer, I always tell people, I'm like, look for a functional medicine practitioner. That's the best place to start, is something like that. And someone that, you know, obviously has some experience with thyroid health, whether it's Hashimoto's or just hypothyroidism, that would always be where I would have people approach that way, for sure. You know, that utilize lab testing, because the lab testing to me is such a crucial piece of it. And that's overlooked a lot.
Those are really good tips. And as you were saying, it's related to hormone and stress and everything. So as you're going through midlife and you're doing all the things you were doing before and they're not working and you're maybe right. doing some new things, or you're taking thyroid medication and it's not budging, then it's time to really consider looking yeah. off the medical model of care and look at, don't yeah. keep doing the thing that wasn't working. For yeah. something better. And what Angela was saying, you work with people, you said, for 6 months. And so mm-hmm. it's not a one and done. Some really quick fix process. It's something you commit to and have somebody walk with you yeah. who can give you the ups and downs, because that healing isn't a straight path. Maybe a mineral dump or something, or metal dump, mm-hmm. and you start feeling bad. And yep. it's important to have somebody there holding your hand saying, okay, this is what's going on. Yeah. It's not that this thing isn't working. It's because we need to do this to adapt, yeah. or this is part of the healing response or that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not exactly. something you go through and DIY by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing. Yeah. Cause clients will ask me too, like, wow, 6 months, like it's going to take me that long. And I'm like, yeah. Like I always tell people, I'm like, your body didn't get to this in one day. It did not happen overnight. Most of the women that are coming to me, they've been dealing with it for years and years. So I'm like, it's going to take some time, be patient, but know that you're doing all the right things. And usually by 3 months, they're typically always like, oh, wow, I'm already noticing some changes. And then by 6 months, they're feeling pretty good. Some that are super, super sick, I mean, we're talking a year and a half even for them. Like if they have co-infections, and like I have one that has Lyme disease, like that's a longer journey. So everyone's very different with it. But I like to do at least 6 months, because just like you said, too many things change. A lot of, you know, I would rather have had my handheld when I was going through my stuff and someone being there for me, like, okay, we need to tweak this. And then we're going to talk about this. And so I'm like in your face at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, on a Zoom call, like coaching you through what we're doing next. What we're working on next. Are we going to tweak anything from your supplements or your protocol or whatever it may be? So yeah, I feel like it works so much better when you have that support.
Oh, absolutely. I can't, it's really hard to get through something on your own. It's a solitary thing too, because you don't feel comfortable talking to everybody these things. And so it's somebody in your corner and also somebody who's been through what you're going through, so they can speak from a place of experience and understanding that you wouldn't get from somebody who just kind of studied it and just decided they wanted to go as help people with it.
Yeah.
So, Angela, how do people find you if they want to find out more about you and they'd like to be able to learn from you and be able to maybe even work with you?
Sure. So I am on social media a lot. I love being on social media. So on Instagram, I'm Angela Brown Coach. On Facebook, I have a business profile on there too. I'm Angela Brown Thyroid Coach, but I have a website, angelabrown.org. I have a ton of info, a lot of free guides on there. I love giving away guides because that's always a great place for people to start, especially when you're overwhelmed and you're like, I don't even know where to start. So I have some freebies on there, and I have an email list that I'm sending out at least a couple of times a month with recipes, tips, all kinds of things, even exercise stuff. I go a lot into exercise stuff because I have exercise background, obviously. So I do a lot of tips and stuff like that on there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I would recommend that you all go on Angela's social media. If you just sit and scroll through, you'll learn a lot from the things that she's posting, and really awesome lady. So hope you hop on her social media, check out her website, and keep following her. I know that she's got a lot of value to add to people that she works with. Thank you so much for joining me today on this episode. And I'm really glad that you were able to share so much information about how you work with women with thyroid issues and just demystifying some things about minerals.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Wasn't that great? Okay, let me see if I go through some takeaways real quickly so this doesn't become like a 2-hour. Okay, so minerals are the spark plugs to your body. They create enzymes, cofactors, hormones, all kinds of things that your body needs to run properly. And this goes back to the question I asked in the beginning of the show, which is, would you work with somebody who's an auto mechanic that doesn't understand how spark plugs work? So now you know. And you can't create these minerals, so food is a major source, and also supplementation. And everybody has different levels, and they affect your metabolism, thyroid, adrenals, gut health, energy levels, and all kinds of things. And so it's important to find out what your levels are. And you can take a general mineral supplement, but that could be a problem because everybody's levels are different. You could be deficient in some, and you could have too much of another. And you can't supplement your way without also including food and having the right dosage. So it's a really good idea to find out what your levels are at and have a more customized approach. And also supplements and the HTMA, hair tissue and mineral analysis, isn't well known because doctors really don't know how to interpret the labs. As you've heard Angela talk about it, it's actually quite complex, and you need to know what a loss means, and it may mean that it's either low or high or it's hidden in the tissues. You also have to know the relationship with the minerals, as Angela clearly does, and you have to know how to balance them out, because sometimes you might have something that's too high. If you take more of it, it'll push another mineral down. They have this thing called an antagonistic relationship, and others, they help each other increase. And so you really need to know the relationship among the minerals. Also, medication isn't the solution. The solution is to increase the amount of minerals in your body, and a lot of it is through food. And sometimes you can't get enough of certain supplements that you're deficient in through your food. So that means that it's a smart idea to supplement and get the right dosage. And also lifestyle habits like sleep and managing your stress levels are really important too. Because a lot of deficiencies happen because of exposure, also because when we get stressed out, we start burning through these minerals really quickly and become deficient. And also the lot of toxins that we have in our environment, we live in a very toxic world, so that can cause imbalances as well. And so Angela lays out what to expect when you work with a practitioner on mineral balancing, and that's the preferred way, of course, of addressing this. Most women, especially with slow metabolism and thyroid issues, have a mineral imbalance. It's also important to know that your mineral levels, especially when thyroid meds or any health program isn't working, without the right mineral balance, you can't absorb the medication. And if your metabolism is slow, you also don't do well generally on a ketogenic diet, which is super popular right now. And so, really, it's important to test, not guess. And then blood levels of minerals are only a snapshot in time, and so it's not the optimal way of assessing mineral levels. Also, there are some minerals like magnesium that doesn't really stay in the blood serum. Only 1% of it can be found in the blood because your body is always trying to balance things out. It doesn't want to carry certain metals in the blood either, so it puts it into the cell. So 99% of, for example, magnesium would be found in the tissue, and that's why the HTMA, hair tissue mineral analysis, is more ideal. You also get a 3-month average of what is in your cells instead of just in the bloods, and so hair sample is the way to go because of that too. And so we also talked about how it's a good idea to ditch the word diet from your vocabulary and your mindset because there's no one plan that works for everyone. And your nutritional needs tend to change as your body and life situation changes. So if what you're doing isn't working, don't beat yourself up. You're probably doing it right. It's just that it's not the right thing for you at the time. And so, if you're wondering why your metabolism is sluggish and nothing that you used to do in the past seems to be working, an HTMA test might be a fantastic way for you to find some clues as to what to do with your nutrition, your lifestyle, your sleep, and all the other things, and stress management to be able to heal your metabolism. And for those of you who have thyroid issues, especially with a Hashimoto's diagnosis, Angela recommended that you look for a functional practitioner to help because they get to the root cause. They don't just medicate the situation. Angela is a very sought-after coach, and you can understand now after hearing her speak and her deep knowledge, and she works with women struggling with Hashimoto's. Find out more about her in the show notes. I'll list that information, especially as I said in the intro, look up her Instagram account and you'll find a lot of really good information about thyroid and about minerals. She is the creator of the Sexy Thyroid Solution Program, and if you want to learn more about how to work with her through the program, find out more about that also in her social and her website, and I'll list that in the show notes as well. I hope this is super helpful, and I hope that you really enjoyed listening to information about minerals. I love it. It's super fascinating, and it's definitely something that could be a game changer for you. So if you haven't already, please subscribe to the show so that we can stay in touch, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the show so you can reach out to me on social, and have a wonderful day ahead. And don't forget to lighten up, ladies.